Listen the way you want. Now, we return on The Morning Drive. News Talk WVMT.
Welcome back to The Morning Drive, everybody. Kurt and Anthony, and joining us in studio now is Amy Hornblass. And we are going to be talking about the Vermont Emergency Forum to assess the respiratory hazards of masks. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on your show this morning.
Yes, thanks for being on. And let's start out with us. Tell us about what this forum, what it's going to be all about. I mean, it's obviously about masks.
Right.
But plug in a little more details for us.
Yes, well, thank you so much for having me on your show. The more of my friends and acquaintances that I tell that I'm going to be on the show this morning, the more people I find out are your fans.
Oh.
You guys have a really big fan base out there. Oh.
Well, be careful because we don't have much of an ego. So.
Yes, well, this is really an honor to be on WVMT. And so we are holding the Vermont Emergency Forum to assess the respiratory hazards of masks on Friday, May 12th, at Burlington City Hall Contois Auditorium. It's an all-day event. And this is because the COVID federal emergency was scheduled to end on May 11th. However, the federal government does plan to continue the emergency use authorization for the products that were granted emergency use authorization during the COVID emergency. They're planning to continue use. Yes.
I thought that they had finally just ended it, but that's not the case.
Right. The products are going to continue with their emergency use authorization, and that includes tests and vaccines and face masks, which the use of face masks in community settings, the way they've been used in response to COVID, is a brand new thing. There is actually no evidence showing that they're safe or effective, and they were put out there in the community to be used as sort of a we were in a panic. People were afraid. People are still afraid. And so they're wearing them, not realizing that they have never been assessed fully for safety or effectiveness. So it's time. We're saying that, okay, with the emergency ending on May 11th, it's time for us to take a thoughtful, look at the use of these masks. And it turns out that there are OSHA standards. Those are Occupational Safety and Health Administration standards that are in place that employers have not been following throughout this entire COVID crisis. If your employer, for example, if your employer allows you to voluntarily wear an N95 or a dust mask style respirator, that's considered a respirator according to OSHA, it is their obligation to have assessed the hazards of that mask before they let you wear it and inform you that there are hazards. Now, no employers are doing that right now.
And there are going to be experts that are going to be testifying at the public forum on this?
Yes. So it is time because I also submitted a FOIA, a Freedom of Information Act request, to the Agency of Education in Vermont back over the winter. And I asked them, do you have any evidence that masks are safe for children? They do not. Okay. And this is well known because, it would be unethical to conduct such a study. Because, of the hazards. And I know this word hazard is new for people, but this is all over the OSHA regulations.
So prior to COVID, say you required or allowed, if you were a private employer, someone to wear a mask, you had to advise them that there were hazards involved with wearing a mask.
Right. Starting at what's considered a respirator, which begins with a dust mask or N95 style mask.
And I'll be honest with you, I didn't know there were hazards.
Right. And that's hazardous in and of itself, right? And also, if you're not aware that they are not really protective, you're also putting yourself in situations thinking you're protected when you're not. So we are inviting experts. In fact, this all started because I wanted to bring Megan Mansell to the Agency of Education to testify because she is really skilled in special education accommodations. And this is another key point some folks may not be aware of, is that schools in Vermont, Newark School, we know for sure, up in the Northeast Kingdom, is masking kids again this year, requiring masks on entire classes of kids based on special education laws.
And they're the only school, I think, that's still doing it. I don't know why they are, but they're the only school that still is, right, in Vermont. Is that correct?
That we're aware of. The problem is now that the federal government, last March, advised all the schools in the country to use special education laws to impose medical interventions as safety measures, including masks, but it could be other things, on not just students with special education needs, but also entire classes and teachers to protect those students. And we're saying, wait, 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 because we actually have no evidence that they're safe for children to begin with. We don't have evidence that they're effective. And so I wanted to bring Megan Mansell to the Agency of Education because she is an expert in this. And if you want more information about her work or any of our other presenters, you can go to my website, vtmasksurvey.com. That's VT like Vermont, masksurvey.com. You can get information about the forum and all of our presenters. And so I could not get time with the Agency of Education on their agenda to discuss this issue. So we're holding a forum to bring the information to the people.
And you call it the, as we read it, the Vermont Emergency Forum. Why do you call it the Emergency Forum? I wondered why the word emergency is in there. Just because I know what you're saying about schools, but at least as we stand now, I believe virtually all the schools have lifted the mask mandate. And most mask mandates, like when I go places, for the most part, unless people are doing it of their own free will, people are not wearing masks. You know, again, there's some individuals make their own choice, but they don't have to. So why do you call it the emergency public forum?
Yes, Barrett, you brought up a couple of really good points. First, let's just start with the fact that the minute people are allowed to take their masks off or feel allowed, right, because either the hospital is loose in their regulations, the school has loosened their regulations, the grocery store, people take them off, right? They do. We have an
mostly.
Mostly, overwhelmingly mostly. And if they don't, it's often out of fear. And so people understand the need to breathe. We instinctively understand that. This respiration is very important. Our keynote speaker is Dr. Christina Parks, and she is a cellular biologist. And she is going to explain the very, very, very serious hazards of restricting breathing. So we are starting with the restriction of breathing. There are other health hazards related to masks. As you can imagine, communication issues, skin irritation issues for people with eczema and things like that, headaches. But there are and further health risks down the line as well. And so there is a lot to look at, and this could be causing an emergency.
All right, well, let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're live on the Morning Drive. You're on the air. Go ahead. Well, let's go to the next line. Good morning. You're live on the Morning Drive.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Go right ahead.
So I know some people that work at the University of Vermont Health Center, and they're still mandated to wear masks. Is there any recourse they can use stating that, like you said, the OSHA says that these masks, they have not been tested as to be safe for the wearer,
Yes, thank you so much for bringing up medical settings and workers in medical settings, because that is very concerning. We do have evidence, lots of evidence, because this is a very big area of concern. Wearing masks for prolonged periods of time can cause hazards, and so we have a mountain of evidence saying that it can be dangerous. We have no evidence that prolonged use is safe. And this isn't me saying this is not my opinion. This is the World Health Organization's opinion. This is the CDC's opinion if you read the research. And so, yes, thank you for bringing up healthcare workers, because even before COVID, there were policies in place, even in Vermont, that are called vaccine or mask policies. And these were in place in medical settings for healthcare workers before COVID. And what that meant was, if you worked in a place that had that kind of policy, if you did not get your annual flu vaccine and keep up to date on it, you were required to wear a mask at all times.
All right. Well,
they're going to expand those rules. So even though you hear that they are loosening, so to get back to your point, Kurt, even though you hear that they are loosening these rules, this is what's sneaking in the back door. If we don't assess the hazards right now and begin discussing them, they have in place OSHA standards right now for medical centers that require vaccine or mask policies. But OSHA is working on, with support from the Biden administration, not doing this through proper policy and through assessment of the hazards, but sneaking in and imposing vaccine or mask policies in all workplace settings. So these presenters we're bringing to Vermont have been going around the country raising the alarm about this, because if we don't start talking about this soon, we're going to see this come back like a zombie coming back from the dead. The masks are going to come back, but they're going to be...
This is The Morning Drive on FM 96.3, AM 620, News Talk WVMT.
We are back on The Morning Drive here on WVMT, and we're continuing our discussion now with Amy Hornblass. And we're talking about the big forum that's coming up at City Hall May 12th, Friday, May 12th?
Friday, May 12th.
At what time, Amy?
From 9 o'clock to 4:30.
And, okay, and so, and again, the McKenzie Country Classic Hotline, of course, is open, 888-414-0303, if you have a question from Amy. Now, Amy has experts coming in to talk about this at the forum, but Amy, can you tell me, so I wore a mask. I mean, I wore it 24 hours a day, but I wore it when I had to wear it as according to what the rules that were brought down. And my wife works at, fan on the air, she works at the Arbors, and they still have to wear masks. They are around a, you know, a population that's at-risk population, seniors, et cetera. Is the group, are the experts coming in, are they are going to say that wearing masks itself are a danger to people? And can you, I know you're not one of the speakers, you helped put this together, but can you tell us basically what they're going to say the danger is of wearing a mask?
Well, so we are bringing in, as well as the other folks I mentioned, two OSHA experts, Tammy Clark and Kristen Megan Kelly, folks may have heard of. They've been on the high wire. They are part of the frontline doctors team of experts. They're not doctors, but they are OSHA experts. And it turns out that even doctors have to be trained in the proper use of respiratory protection, like surgical masks and things. They are not the experts. So when physicians and medical doctors are giving advice on the use of these masks, they are actually outside of their area of expertise. They are trained by people like Tammy Clark and Kristen Megan Kelly. And Kristen Megan Kelly would train people in the military settings with very dangerous chemicals. Tammy Clark would advise people in workplace settings and advise employers on the safe use of these PPE. These types of PPE, respiratory protection, has well-known hazards. One of the first studies that I found is actually the first respiratory handbook for OSHA that was written in 1976. And the entire first chapter of this book is biology. It's the lungs. It's your cells. It's how much your body needs to have this constant exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide, and how interrupting that process is extremely hazardous. So these masks are supposed to be the last measure of protection in this entire pyramid, they call it, pyramid of interventions. It's the last thing you would do because it does come with so many hazards.
Well, I think, and you're not saying that all mask use is bad. It's a question of what's more harmful, the potential chemical you're going to breathe in, or just wearing a mask all the time as this sense of security.
Exactly. So it's the cost-benefit analysis that has never happened. I've been calling for this cost-benefit analysis with our public leaders here in Vermont for the past 3 years. I'm a health educator. I teach health in the school, pre-K through 12th grade. And when they wanted me to come back after 10 years in my school district and mask the children coming back in 2020 in the fall, I had to resign and I had to start doing research. And I've actually been surveying Vermonters for the past 3 years on the hazards and the harms that they are experiencing as a result of wearing masks, and bringing this to our health commissioner and everyone else and saying we need to do a cost-benefit analysis. Where is your evidence that you've ever done a cost-benefit analysis of the use of masks in community settings? And it does not exist. So it's time. And if they're not going to do it, we're bringing this to the people. So we're bringing the information to the people. To get back to what your caller was asking, there are OSHA standards that employees can use. We are going to have to protect ourselves, and we're going to have to protect the kids ourselves, and parents are going to have to protect the kids and have the confidence and courage to stand up to these types of mask requirements and policies.
Let's get another phone call.
Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're live on The Morning Drive. Let's go to the next line. Good morning. You're live on The Morning Drive. You're on the air, caller. Go ahead.
Okay.
There's a delay if you're listening on the radio.
Let me ask you this. During the pandemic, at the height of the pandemic, most people were wearing masks. One thing that I found interesting is that nobody or seemingly nobody got the regular flu that year. It was non-existent. I get the flu when it's out there, and I didn't get it, and virtually no one that I knew got the flu that year. Does that not show somehow that the masks are effective, that we wear a mask and no flu?
Right.
No regular influenza.
Does correlation equal causation? I mean, that's a typical scientific question. Because this happened when that happened, does that mean the two are related? And so it turns out that's a very common belief. When I was speaking with a lot of people in the schools, they said, well, the minute we took the masks off, you know, we weren't sick at all when we were wearing the masks. And then the minute we took them off, we all got sick. Well, it turns out one of the causes, you know, not only the fact that we were locked down, that there wasn't as much travel those first 2 years, people were hardly mingling. So, of course, that decreases the spread, which some might say lowers our immune system in some ways. So there is a cost-benefit analysis there. But also, what one of our speakers, Dr. Christina Parks, is going to explain is when we increase the levels of carbon dioxide in our bloodstream by wearing masks and not allowing that air, that toxic chemical to escape our body and leave, that toxic gas, carbon dioxide, we basically impose COPD on our bodies. And if you know anybody who has COPD, they have difficulty breathing, they have restriction of their lungs, they have a higher level of carbon dioxide in their bloodstreams. Believe it or not, they do not get sick as often as other people, because they are not well enough to have the symptoms. What I used to teach in health class to my students is when you are sick, the symptoms that you see, that's your body getting better, right? The fever, the runny nose, the coughing, you're getting those things out of your body. That is a sign your body's working. You are recovering when you have those symptoms. The problem with people having COPD and other health conditions like that is they can't fight it off. They aren't waging the war. They aren't getting those bad things out. So the minute people took the masks off, it makes sense that then their bodies were like, yes, finally I can get rid of all this junk.
And purging all this stuff.
Exactly.
Well, let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're live on the Morning Drive.
Yes. Hi. I worked in the healthcare system. I guess you probably know that, or Kurt does, for almost 40 years. And my concern from the very beginning with this, and I haven't heard it discussed, maybe it was discussed, is that they suppress the immune system. We didn't wear masks a lot at the hospital when I was there. I started out, there was TB and stuff like that, and we wore masks then. But the first year I worked in pediatrics, I got everything. After that, I was good to go because I think I completely ramped up my immune system for probably the rest of my life. But my concern from the very beginning has been that you suppress your immune system with these masks. So I'll hang up and listen for your comment. Thank you very much. Bye.
Amy, the only thing is, keep it a little bit short because we're just about out of time.
Yes.
Well, your response.
Yes, thank you. Well, if you look at places that did mask versus places that did not, you actually see an increase in cases in places that did mask. It's the opposite of what people think. They actually can help spread viruses and bacteria.
One final question for you, Amy, and then give us any thanks you want to give to organizations or details about the meeting, the public forum again. But we know that, like, when we talk about things like climate change, there'll be some scientists that disagree, and then there's a majority that feels some way, feel differently. Is that the same way here? Do you feel that most of the experts agree with the position that we'll hear at the public forum coming up on May 12th? Or is the position that you're going to espouse, is that more in the minority position than other experts feel?
My experience speaking with Vermonters of all types and all professions all across the state for the past 3 years is that most people agree with these experts and understand this intuitively and instinctively, if not professionally.
But it's not unanimously agreed to by all experts, right?
No. And that's why we need to do some educating. Some people are just afraid, right? And they just, even experts, nurses and medical professionals too.
All right, Amy, give us the details one more time of the forum that's coming up on May 12th.
The Vermont Emergency Forum to Assess the Respiratory Hazards of Masks is happening on Friday, May 12th at Burlington City Hall, Contois Auditorium, all day long. You can find all the details at vtmasksurvey.com. That's VT like Vermont, masksurvey.com. And much gratitude to our sponsors, the Vermont Institute for Human Flourishing and Vermont Stands Up, and other people out there who are donating and helping all along the way, including you guys. Thank you so much.
Amy Hornblatt talking about the big forum coming up on May 12th. Thanks for being on the Morning Drive today.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for coming in. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're checking with Fox News.